Well, it's sad. I really look forward intently to coming to this lovely place, Mount Calvary. You see, the sun is shining. I knew it would. And it's a great joy to be here at Mount Chapel. And in these strange days. Well, if you have a Bible, would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6? You've come not to hear me, but to hear the Word of God, I hope. And it's at the end of Paul's letter, and we'll read from Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, says Paul, finally, after all the wonderful things he said, the thing he has to say, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that you, when the day of evil comes, you may be able to take your stand, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Well, we'll stop there. We haven't endless time. I appreciate that. Well, Paul wants, I just want to look at verse 15. You know, some days are really hard to be a Christian, aren't they? Some days are really hard, difficult. And you may even feel like finishing the Christian life. You're slipping and sliding and getting nowhere. You're thinking, my son's illness is no better. You know, I'm facing constant debt. Or else I just can't get rid of this depression. Or else I'm just tired of living alone. Some people in our church want to be pregnant. You know, we just can't get pregnant. You could list, you know, I just like a decent job. Or if I'm honest, you know, I have a pornography problem. Nobody knows, but I have. And I come here, you know, sort of thing. Nobody loves me, really. I've prayed, and I just want to give up. And I come on Sundays, and I don't even understand the guy that's on, actually, if I'm honest. I try and look intelligent, but I don't understand what you're on about at this place. I can't. And some days it's just over my head. It's too bookish. I don't get it. And it's unclear to me. I say all these things. I could give many more. But people actually give up. And you could go through Worsley and Earlham of the Heights and Salford, and you could see people who once used to attend here. Now, I'm not saying we're the righteous ones that's left. I'm just saying that people leave. I could go to my hometown in Yorkshire, where the two towns I've lived in down the south, and people who came with us, who stood and shouted and raised hands and all that stuff. And where are they now? Why I say that? Because there is a battle, my friends, for your eternal soul. We're not playing games. We're not singing songs on Sunday. You people say, well, you meet them, and well, I still believe in God. Yeah, but God is not the living God. You know, you meet them. Oh, I still believe all that stuff they say. But Paul says, look, there's a battle, and that's why he says, there's a supernatural battle on. Now, we haven't time to unpack it all, but four times, Paul says, four times, he says, stand. Above all, stand firm. And after you've done everything, he says, stand. And don't give up, don't lose heart. Then he says, the Corinthians, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be strong like men, be courageous, he says. Well, the thing is, well, how shall we stand? And now we could spend a lifetime on that. How shall we stand? Well, I'm just going to take one aspect of the armour, and each part is important. And it's to do with footwear. Now, shoes are important, aren't they? They're not just a fashion item. In many ways, in Britain, in summer, you probably don't need shoes. I mean, we've carpets in our home. We've carpets in the office. We've even carpets in the church. We've carpets in the car. The pavements are fairly flat. And in summer, you could get away with socks, really, or barefoot, really. I go to Africa and India a lot, and they seem to manage quite well, some of them, without shoes. But, you know, it's a big item, isn't it, footwear? You can get footwear for everything. As my wife says, you can never have enough bags. Well, I guess you could say you can never have enough shoes as well, really. You wouldn't say that, but someone could. But, you know, it's a big thing, shoes, isn't it? You go in the sportswear, and there's shoes for walking, shoes for climbing, shoes for running, shoes for playing tennis, playing on clay courts or on grass courts. You have different shoes. School shoes for rugby, shoes for football, soccer, shoes for, I don't know, climbing, everything. So it's important. Now, so Paul, it's only an illustration. Paul, it's only an illustration, this. Don't take it too literally. He wants to try and make a point. He's standing next to this Roman soldier. And one of the key things about the armour is the feet. And he looks at this soldier, and what he's wearing they're not boots, they're sandals, and there'd be thongs that came halfway up the calves to hold them on. And the great thing about them is the thick soles. And they would, on the soles, they would have studs. They were, you know, they would have these things on the soles. They would be, you know, really good studs on underneath. For many reasons. The first reason is often just to protect your feet. There's nothing worse than standing in a drawing pin, is there, when you've nothing on your feet? Well, it's rather caricaturing it, but when they were going into action, the enemy, when they saw the soldiers, would put spikes in the ground. They didn't have landmines, but they would sharpen sticks, and they would put them on the field or in the paths. So you stand on these things. And you know, if you're lame, you're useless. And in those days, you'd be infected. The next day, you'd be worse than useless. So that was one of the ways. So they stopped them attacking. So you had to protect your feet. But not only that, you didn't want to be slipping and sliding. You know, we're talking about hand-to-hand fighting. And if you're on rocks or uneven terrain, you know, you want to make sure that you've got a good grip. So they had good studs on the soles of their feet. And because if they were slipping and sliding, they were useless. And so Paul sees these shoes. And you see, the context here is not to do with evangelism. The context here is to do with spiritual warfare. That's what he's talking about. And constantly Paul says, we are being attacked. He says, our struggle is not against people. They're just pawns. He says, our struggle is not against rulers. It's not flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities. That's the real problem. Against the powers of this dark world, the spiritual force of evil. In the heavenly realm, you say, we're heavenly people. We are. But that's actually where the fighting is. That's what he's saying. And you won't get the devil himself. Don't worry about that. You'll get one of his lesser spirits, as it were. Now, the key to this is the defensive warfare. We simply have to hold the ground that Christ has won from us. We don't have to win through to victory. We are born into victory. We stand in the victory of Christ. But we have to have certain footing. That's what he's saying. To get a grip, to prevent from slipping. And Paul says, look what he says, that your feet shod with the readiness or the preparedness. Well, I don't know what your version says. That's the first thing about it. You have to be ready. You have to have a firmness, a confidence, an assurance. We're in a battle. You know? I used to play a lot of rugby when I was younger. And, you know, you see them now. You'd never play rugby with flat soles like this. If you're in the scrum, you'd be pushed back to the end of the field. You've got to dig in. And Paul says, you know, we have to be sure and confident. That's why we have teaching on Sunday morning. It's not just a game we play, my friends. So the first thing is, you've got to be sure and confident. You've got to know who you are. Who am I as a Christian? I am a child of God. I am born of the Spirit. I'm indwelt by the Spirit. You know? I'm a soldier in the army of God. I've been called up. I didn't enlist, I was called up. You know? I've been purchased by the very blood of the Son of God. I'm not just an ordinary person as I walk through Swindon. No. I'm a child of God. You've got to know that. And I'm not half in and half out. I'm totally committed to this thing. You know? And people say, well, you know, they come to church, they like the forgiveness and they like the peace and the hope, but they're not so sure about the responsibilities and the duties. But that's what it's about. But we're standing firm. There's a war on. We're born on the battlefield, as it were. And there's an eternal battle for your soul. There's an eternal battle for the soul of your family. There's a battle for the life of this very church, my friends. There's a battle for the life of this city that you live in. There's a battle for the soul of this land. And the only people who are going to fight it are the born-again Christians. Because the rest are dead spiritually. And so there's a great call on our life. And we have to be aware of this. And we often feel like running. Oh, my family. My marriage is desperate. My husband ignores me. And it's desperate. You know, the children. Oh, dear. They're hard work. Or things at work are desperate. And finances are desperate. And oh, I'm not well. And, you know, the great temptation is, well, just pack it in. And just, you know, just slip off. Take the easy life. And we're tempted to run. Now, what do you do? Now, Paul says, you stand firm. Stand firm. I'm not going to run anymore. I've enlisted as the soldier of Jesus Christ. And as Churchill once said, wars are not won by evacuations. He said that after Dunkirk, he realized that. It's all right to get out of Dunkirk, but you don't win wars by evacuations. And Paul says, you put on these sandals of firmness, of preparedness, of certainty, of readiness. You see? And Paul says, you have to know what you believe. Be on your guard, he says. Stand firm to the Corinthians in the faith. That's what we teach on Sundays and through the week. Now, we live in a nation where people are slipping slide. I'm glad you're praying. I'm not even going to touch on the political situation. I believe it's serious. Desperately, but as a far more serious problem which shall come to, that we must address. And you know, and we have to stand. That's the key thing. No compromising. We have to be resolute. Once the church was a sign of the fish. Now it seems to me the church in Britain is a sign of the jellyfish. You know, we have to stand firm, and that's what he's saying. You know, now we have to say, is there anything for which you would stand? We stand in this church. That's why it's a privilege for me to come. We stand for the deity of Christ. We stand for the virgin birth. We stand for the substitutionary death of our Lord. We stand for the physical resurrection of Christ. We stand for the pouring out of the Spirit. We stand for the physical return of Jesus Christ. We stand for the total, infallible, inspired Word of God. We stand for these things. No, the rest, forget them. That's what this church was raised up to do, my friends. It's not a chance we're here. It's a serious time. And, we have to come to a settled faith on this, a settled position. Like Martin Luther said many years ago, after 12 centuries of Roman Catholic nonsense and heresy, he said, here I stand. I can do no other. And the content of Europe was changed by him and his like, who prepared to face death. He wasn't just religion. He faced death for what he stood for. Now we have to know the gospel. What does he say? Let's look at the text. And with your feet fitted with the readiness of what? That comes from the gospel of peace. And why did he say that? What is this gospel of peace? We have to know this gospel of peace. We have to accept it. Now let me... I almost apologize for teaching you people in a church like this. But you know, somebody said to me, well, you know, they came back from... I don't know, one of these conferences, I won't mention it. A good conference. And they said, well, what the church needs is they need a stand on global warming. We need a doctrine of stewardship of the planet. That is the most important thing in the world. Now, I said, well, I don't think it is. Now, I believe it is incredibly important that we are good stewards of this when we face the issue of global warming and all that stuff. But that is not the key thing. It's important, but it is not the key thing. Come with me to Romans 5. Paul says, let me just quickly, I'll just give you the headings, because you know this stuff. And I almost apologize to remind you, but I must remind you. You see, Paul said, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, we were weak. Christ died for the ungodly, so we're weak. We're ungodly. And he said earlier, we're unrighteous. He says, while we're still sinners. So we're weak, we're ungodly, we're unrighteous, we're sinners. And then he goes on in verse 9. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath? We're under the wrath of God by nature. So just hear this. We're weak before God, we're unrighteous, we're sinners, we're ungodly, we're under his judgment. But he sums it all up in verse 10. For if when you were God's enemies, that's what men and women are by nature. We're born God's enemies. We're on the other side. But when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him. He says, Paul says, man and God are on opposite sides. We're enemies. We're not at peace. That's the last thing. God is a God of justice. Don't ever believe that nonsense that they said God is the father of all men. It's not biblical. He's the creator of all men. He's not the father of men. Don't accept that nonsense that God tolerates all people. He doesn't. He's a God of justice. He's a God of righteousness. He's a God of holiness. And therefore we are not at peace. We're at war, says Paul. I mean, Nahum says, the Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. And we could go on. I apologize to say it to such a well-taught lot as you. But men and God are at war. But the good news is, and this is why this building and you stand, since we have been justified, made righteous with God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. The amazing thing is, God becomes a man. And God comes to earth. And not only comes to earth and preaches, he dies to make reconciliation. Because the great problem in the world is not global warming, it's not pollution, which are real, and I'm not denying it. But the real problem in the terms of eternity is that men and women need to get right with the eternal God. That's what the gospel is about. And the wonderful thing is, he sent his son to come and make peace through his death on the cross. Now let's not forget that. These things are legitimate and real, but they are not the central things. And we have come to this position. God is no longer our enemy. We are on his side. We have peace with God. We are reconciled. We are totally accepted. We are constituted righteous. We are in Christ, and you could go on. We have peace. We are one with God. So when the devil comes, he can say what he likes. We are one with God. He said, "Come, you can come against me. But I have to tell you, I am anchored to the gospel because I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I can stand firm. God is on my side. I'm not ashamed. Jesus is not ashamed, as the Hebrews letter says, to call me brother. Right? It's amazing. Now we have to be clear about this. I know we've heard it for years and years and years, but this is still the note to sound. We have to put this on our, we have to put it on our feet. This is what keeps us stable. And we can take all attacks, you know. I am a new man, right? I'm under new management. The old man died. I went to his funeral service. It was called a baptism. The old man that went, the miserable so-and-so was before has died. We know that our old self was crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm a new man. The git that used to be at school, the horrible person, has died. I'm ashamed of what he did, but he's gone. We have peace with God. Now you've got to know that. That's what I'm saying. And we have to know that. We've been ready for the battle. We've got to get on these shoes. Do they still have Start Right shoes? You know, I used to put, with our kids, we used to buy Start Right. Do they still have them? Well, it's a good name anyway. These are Start Right shoes. You have to wear these shoes. The gospel of peace. You've got to be equipped with it as we go out. You know, some Christians, the only shoes they wear are carpet slippers. It doesn't work, my friends. No. We are prepared. That's what he's saying. We're never off guard. You know, we don't. Because sometimes he comes. We haven't time. Paul says, you know, we're not unaware of his schemes, his wiles. He comes when you've been blessed. I know on Sunday I have a great day, I preach, and you can bet your life the television comes on and there's something that the devil wants me to see. I've had a great day in the Lord's prayer. And that, you know, and I'm realizing, well, I can see it because no other Christians will see me the rest of the week. I've done my bit. He comes to you when you're blessed. He comes to you when you're tired. He knows when to go for you. He knows when you go for you. You have to be prepared. He never tires. His attacks are very subtle. You must be watchful. Paul says, put on the full armour of God that you may be able to stand against the devil's wiles, his schemes, his strategies. He says to the Corinthians, he says, in order that the devil may not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Well, alas, many Christians are unaware. That's why they live a life of constant failure and defeat. No, we are aware. You see, he's always changing his tactics, isn't he? Some days he comes like a roaring lion. Well, a lion can only roar. The devil can't take you back into his kingdom, but he can certainly fill you with fear. Some days he comes like an angel of light. Some days he comes as a minister of righteousness, a good man. He comes preaching on the telly. He's got a degree, he's got qualifications, he's ordained, and he talks such sweet, affable rubbish. But he's such a nice man. Affability is not the same as godliness, my friends. Charm is not the same as saintliness. Many denominations have succumbed to that. No, we're not unaware of his schemes. Some days he comes to condemn us. You're a Christian and you've done that, you know, but you can't be a Christian. How can you call yourself a Christian? Yeah, I know, you're right. And then the next day, he comes and flatters us. He says, you know, you're a good person. You're an educated person. Look how many qualifications you've got. You know, you don't have to buy into all that sinner stuff and all that stuff. You don't have to buy into all that. No, you don't need all that evangelical stuff. You're a good person. That's your neighbor. He flatters us. One day he gets us full of zeal and we've got to do this and that. And everything that's on the pot, we do it, and then we go and find another, and we do this, and do this, and do this, and then, oh yeah, and we're exhausted. He's got us absolutely exhausted, and we wonder whether life's worth living. He succeeded. We're depressed. It's all he needed. You know? Some days, he gets us late, he puts the foot brake on. Some days, Don't overdo it. Don't get fanatical. Like, just don't overdo it. Just, you know, go to church on Sunday, be a nice, you know, sing a few, but don't be too zealous. It changes, you see. You know, he's always contradicting himself. But he doesn't care as long as you do what he says. Jesus says, watch and pray. You see, that's why we have to have these shoes on, properly fitted with studs that give you, you know, mobility and speed. See, one of the other reasons about the shoes, not only did they give you firmness, they did give you mobility. See, this was a great secret of the Roman army. They followed Alexander the Great. Alexander took the world from Greece to India. And the secret was mobility. Well, the Romans, the Caesars, caught on to this. And the Romans outdid him. They were even better and quicker and more efficient. Well, it was the footwear. They could move an army, a legion, in no time. And we have to be mobile. You see? We have to be mobile. The church then could soon become a museum. It's a listed building, so it's a museum. And we behave as if it's a museum. Now, I'm over keeping the traditional things that I've said. But, you know, we have a routine and we don't want to change it. And, you know, we become professional pew warmers. We have an hour on Sunday and we do our, we tick the boxes. But we don't get too enthusiastic. We might get enthusiastic down the football game. Or if we went to the horses races, we'd certainly get enthusiastic. Or if we went to a pop concert, we'd really take off. But not here. Just, you know, keep it steady, really. No. The great thing, what he's saying, we have to be mobile. Right? We have to choose where we'll fight, my friends. I would commend that if you've time to study the great leaders, the great battle leaders. Study Napoleon. He was a so-and-so, but he was a great battle leader. Robert E. Lee was a great leader. He led the wrong army, but he was a great leader on the battlefield. Read Oliver Cromwell, a great leader who led the model army. Don't follow Douglas Haig, you'll finish in a dolly trench. He got you nowhere. But we have to be mobile, and we have to choose where we'll fight. You see? Or you'll be defeated. My friend, don't argue about evolution unless you know about science, or you'll soon be in a hole. If the Jehovah's Witness come to your door, my friend, unless you know the New Testament, don't take them on, because they've been taught like good parrots, and they'll soon defeat you. You have to know your stuff. I'm just on a very practical level. You know, when I go and say and so, so my sister and my cousin, we always end up arguing. Well, don't argue then. It's always on about religion. Choose where you're going to fight, my friends. Just go and bless them. We always finish. No, just don't do it. Pray for them, bless them, and leave them. Choose where you will fight. It's interesting. I'm going to digress. You know, this whole gay thing, people say, why do you make a big thing about the gay thing? Because that is where the Christian wall is being attacked at this moment. We didn't choose the fight, but that is where the church is losing. Because they said in 1972, the gay liberation movement said, our plan is to destroy the traditional Judeo-Christian family. That's what they said. It's all in the literature, 1972 and onwards. Read it. Read Clifford Hill's book. We didn't want to fight that fight. But that's where we have to stand. And they've been immensely successful, my friends. We haven't time to go into all that. But you have to choose where you'll fight. Sometimes we're forced to fight. Because that's where we're attacked. But we have to be adaptable. We have to be open to change. The gospel never changes, but the presentation must do. You know? I'm not talking about techniques. You know, we have to be very careful. I've been to conferences. The last 30 years, I've been to conferences, and they said, well, you know, if you're going to get Britain, this is what you have to do. Messy church. Liquid church. Seeker service friendly church, you know? And I could go on, I've been to too many conferences. Not recently, I've got a bit of sense. Oh, well, no, I wouldn't go that far. But you know, it's all to do with presentation. I went to a meeting once, and it's all through music. Got to have popular music. Well, you can have popular music, but it's not going to change the world. I'm all for popular music. Or I go to meetings. Well, youth meetings, they have dry ice. Dry ice, that's what you need. Dry ice. Or else what you do need now is, in last week in the paper, in the church, you have a helter-skelter in the church. That's it, isn't it? See in the paper? Or they had crazy golf down the nave. That's what you need. Now, I'm not against, well, I'm against, I think. But actually, everything must depend on the Holy Spirit. That's the point. And that's why the leadership of every church, the most important thing is to get on their faces day after day to say, what is God saying? That's what I'm saying. Because, you know, we've tried every trick in the book in one sense. But our real call is to be totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. People say, no, it's the building. Okay, we'll change the building. No, it's the PA, that's the problem. It's too loud. No. It's the services. No. And I could go on, and I'm all for change. We've changed radically for the last 40 years. But the bottom line is, unless the Holy Spirit comes, we are dead. We have to be adapted. What is He saying? What is He saying? Right? And that's what we have to do. Now, it's no good, and I could take you some of the churches I've been part of. You know, they've never changed. And we can get sluggish and lethargic and restless. Not restless, you know. It's asleep almost. No. We have to get caught that the gospel... People do all these things. I hear them on the television. Because actually they've never got hold of the wonder and the glory of the gospel. And the glory of God we're talking about. And that's where he comes. And so he says, look, so I must come to... He says, be prepared, be committed, be mobile, be ready. Now, I'm just giving you headings, I'm sorry. But there's nothing more important than the gospel. Therefore, we have to do it God's way, in God's time. And we have to be totally dependent on him. And we have to be changeable. Well, it's not going to say we've always done it that way. And sing them, and nothing, and safe is such abiding, for nothing changes here. Well, we have to be adaptable. And some of us are getting older, are getting, if we're not careful, grumpy old men, as I get reminded occasionally. Be careful. But we have to be mobile. This comes from the gospel of peace. Now, the question we've asked us, you know, are you in this room? Have you got peace with God? It's the only thing that matters. And the other thing, I'll just give you the headings now because my time is gone really, is you have to know there's peace with God. And you have to make sure. Right? Or else you'll get shot in no man's land. But also, you have to have the peace of God. And some of you have come this morning, you've lost it. You know? I don't know why. You've done something wrong. You've been sinning. Or you've had repeated failures, or you're full of fears, or you some pressures and you've lost the peace of God. Well, you've got to get that peace. He gives the peace, doesn't he? He gives peace like a river. He gives it. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Oh, you're Christian, I'm not denying that. But you don't have the peace of God. It's a gift. You don't have to work it out. Let the peace of God rule in, peace of Christ ruling your hearts. It's a gift. And as you submit your ways, he gives it. You need to know this Sunday morning that you're loved. You need to know that the Father loves you. So we're really grateful to Helen for the songs and we sung and they're wonderful. But you need to know it personally, that you're loved. You need to know this peace. You know, the people who've influenced me most in life have not been the noisy ones. It's been the people of peace. Assurance, just peace. That's, you know, when you write, you don't need to be noisy, you know that? you don't need to be noisy if you're right. And peace comes. Now, I know some of you have a hard time. And God's word is, cast your anxieties on him. For he cares for you. That's what, you know, the old illustration, I never tire of it, is You know, when Horatius Spafford, do you remember the famous hymn? Horatius Spafford, he's a great lawyer in California, not California, Chicago, and the great Chicago fire destroys his business. He's lost his wealth. That's nothing compared to the fact a few weeks later, his wife and his four girls are coming back from Britain on the Ville d'Arve boat, and it strikes another ship and goes and sinks. And his wife, his four daughters are drowned. His wife telegrams him, whatever she does in those days, and two words, saved alone. And what do? You've lost your business, you've lost your four lovely girls. He's a believer, a devout believer. You know the story. He prays to God. And on the way back, on the way back to Liverpool, he writes the song. And you've sung it. When peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. How do you get that? It's the peace of God. And He gives it. It's supernatural. You know it. Some of you have been through far deeper valleys than I've been through. And you can say, yeah, I know that. I don't know what it's all about, but I've known a peace that passes understanding. And that's what the world hasn't got. Because God has done it. And now there are other things that we couldn't... my time has gone. There's peace with others, and if Jesus says, well, don't come worship unless you've got peace with others. And if you're wrong with people, if you've fallen out with people, if you've said things with them, and you've offended people, or you don't get right with other people before you come and sing your songs. Get right before you offer your gift at the altar. Peace with God. And be at peace, the peace of it, and be peaceful with others. But he says, you know, above all, to stand. We have to stand, my friends, in these difficult days. We have to stand for the gospel. And it's going to get harder. We have to stand for marriage. For the first time in the history of mankind, the definition of marriage has been changed. We have to stand for marriage of bits between men, a man and a woman. You know, we have to stand for it. We have to stand for the right of the child in the womb. When a woman can say, this thing in my child will not become a human being. She becomes as God. Now, I know there are exceptions. There are medical exceptions. But we've now, this last few months, gone to 200,000 abortions in Britain a year. Again, we've got past that. We have to stand for this. We are made in the image of God. We have to stand for the gender that we were given, my friends. We have to stand. We have to stand for the gospel. We have to stand. You know? Don't be surprised if the battle is fierce. Peter, don't be surprised about the fiery trial as if some strange thing were happening to you. Don't be surprised. You were born on the battlefield. Right? Don't be frightened. Brace yourself, he says. Don't be half-hearted. Don't be, I'll give it a try. I'll see what it's like. No. Get stuck in. You're enlisted. Stop thinking about yourself. It's all self, me. You know? Don't give a thought about defeat, my friends, or retreat. You know? Just stand. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant. Don't be intoxicated by all the nonsense that's from the world. Just be the privilege of being in such a fight. It's a good fight of faith. Because we win in the end, right? We win. I was in Portsmouth 2 weeks ago. I stood next to the Victory. You remember Horatius Nelson said, England expects that this day every man shall do his duty. Well, how much more as Christians, my friend? Christ says, come on. Stand. Right? But just consider who your captain is, my friends. We're standing for Jesus. That's the great thing. We're fighting the same fight as Jesus fought. We're fighting for the honor of the faith. We're fighting for the glory of God. Right? If I fail, well, the gospel fails. Right? But just think, of the crown of glory that he will give to you. He will give it to you. He himself. Right? So above all, says Paul, stand. Stand in the faith. Be like men and women. Be men of courage. Stand. I mean, them all to stand. How do you stand? You put on the shoes of the preparedness of the gospel of peace. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you'll make us good soldiers, that we will fight the good fight. We've all eternity to rejoice in the victories, but only this life to win them. Pray that we will fight a good fight. We won't whinge and complain. We'll go for it. Thank you, Lord, for these lovely people. Thank you for this chapel. Thank you for the elders. Thank you for all the leaders and the godly people here. We pray that we'll be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We ask it for his glory, his name, his reputation, his honor. Amen.